We are sitting down with Dr. Juniper Simonis, scientist and founder of Dapper Stats, with over 15 years of experience in statistical, theoretical, and computational conservation biology. Dr. Simonis joins us to talk about their work amidst the recent protests in Portland. Juniper, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's really great to talk to you about this stuff, even though it's such a sad situation that we're in, and it's horrible for so many reasons, but I'm glad to be here and be able to talk to you and share information with your listeners.
First, can you tell us a little about the sort of work you normally do?
Yeah, so I have a background in ecology. I have my PhD from Cornell University in ecology and evolutionary biology. So my day-to-day life recently, up until sort of this recent foray into chemical weapons research, has been primarily doing data analysis and computational work. Even though I do have a pretty solid history in field ecology and in particular aquatic ecology.
And how did you become interested in studying the chemical weapons being employed in Portland?
I, like many other people, got interested in what was going on because I was the recipient of chemical weapons in Portland. From the beginning, as a disabled person who has to navigate spaces with a service dog, I knew that there were risks of tear gas even the first day we went out to protest. And so we would often have to leave early so that we didn't get gassed. In other instances, I've been providing mutual aid, like first aid and snacks and firefighting stuff for folks. I noticed kind of the way in which these law enforcement agents are using the chemical weapons, including their distribution of them in sort of environmental space, not just targeting people, but sort of like where they're deploying these munitions, and then how they're managing them afterwards, right? And seeing them basically littering the ground with half-spent canisters full of toxic chemicals made me, as a, you know, an environmental friendly person, alarmed, but then made me as an ecologist incredibly alarmed because I know how this kind of stuff can get into ecosystems and move through ecosystems through a lot of sort of biological and chemical and geological processes that move, you know, organic compounds like these kinds of compounds through the environment. And that really alarmed me, the degree to which basically hazardous waste was being spread across the city and just left to be, you know, washed away into the river.
Last week, you documented finding intact munitions, pepper balls or something similar to that, at the Cottonwood
Yeah.
Charter School in downtown Portland. Chemical agents have also been employed in the vicinity of hospitals like OHSU. Why should we be worried about that?
All of these chemical munitions, whether we're talking about quote-unquote safe smoke that's spelled like SAF, whether we're talking about hexachloroethane smoke, HC, whether we're talking about OC, which is like what we think of as pepper spray, or PAVA, which is basically the synthetic version of that, or whether we're talking about CS or any of these other chemicals, they all are hazardous waste, and distributing them in general in the public is a problem. Distributing them in the public, in particular, in close proximity to schools and hospitals is a horrible problem, as well as parks and the stormwater system. And so last week on Wednesday night, the protesters moved back to the ICE building on McAdam, right at Moody and Bancroft. And that was the first time they'd been there since like the first day of protest. This round. And in dispersing protesters from the area, the combination of Portland police and the federal government deployed hundreds, and I am being very literal here, hundreds of pepper balls, which are powder balls, really, in the direct vicinity of the ICE rental property and the Cottonwood Charter School, which is right next door. I counted 171 impacts of powder balls on the ground, which indicate, you know, that they didn't hit a target except the ground, between the ICE building and the charter school and the curb on the north side of the street. I found another 137 from that curb all the way up to Gaines, and then a handful more up by OHSU. Up by OHSU, they were using CS gas canisters, which are also really horrible. But the pepper balls in particular, they loaded up very heavily the area of sort of south, the southern end of Moody, down near the ICE rental property. And that included munitions that went into the play area and into the school grounds of the Cottonwood Charter School. And these munitions are very, very dangerous. One of these pepper balls has enough active chemical to kill a toy breed dog, like a mini chihuahua, or a toy poodle or something. A 6-pound dog could die from eating one of these things. A larger dog would get very sick and might have permanent damage to their body. Them just like distributing these things in the environment where people are walking their dogs the next morning, or people are driving and biking through, they're leaving piles, literal piles of hazardous waste in the street and in the bike lanes. And anytime one of these balls gets run over and popped, it kicks up, or a powder pile gets run over, it kicks up the stuff into the air that we know is cancer producing and exacerbating agent. We know it's an asthma-inducing and exacerbating agent, and we know it's a skin condition-inducing and exacerbating agent. And yet, ICE and PPV unloaded, or DHS and PPV unloaded an inordinate amount of pepper into the intersection of Moody and Bancroft, which is the intersection that everybody who's going to the hospital at OHSU goes through. I go to the hospital at OHSU all the time. I drive through that intersection on the way there. When I was finishing counting this stuff up in the morning, I was yelling at people to roll up their windows, because when they would drive through, they would hit a pile and they would get tear gas in their car on the way to the hospital the next morning, right? So it was like, this is a completely disregarding the public's health and well-being distribution of very hazardous waste throughout our environment. And this is from, again, just one night in southwestern Portland.
Ted Wheeler was recently endorsed by the Oregon League of Conservation Voters, an organization whose mission it is to back pro-environment candidates. Ted Wheeler is, of course, also the city's police commissioner. Do you agree with OLCV's endorsement of Wheeler as a pro-environment candidate?
No. I think it's laughable that anybody who fashions themselves as a conservation-minded voter would support an individual who has indiscriminately used hazardous waste as weaponry against the populace and the environment of the city for nearly 3 months without any personal accountability. I am not shocked given the history of OLCV, but it's sad anytime anybody who's a conservationist or fashions themselves as such endorses a massive polluter like Ted Wheeler. And let's be honest, because Ted Wheeler is the commissioner of the Portland Police, the buck stops with him when it comes to failure to acknowledge and take the legally required action for notification of DEQ and handling of hazardous waste. Like, this is a known set of laws. This is a known set of chemicals. None of this should be a surprise, and yet he's been doing this for 90 days with no accountability. To me, that is a person who's in a political space that does not have leadership skills when it comes to conservation.
I wanted to talk just briefly something I'm really interested in any radical movement is mutual aid and community that sort of props up the movement and also doesn't really get a lot of coverage. Is that something you could speak to in your experience during the past 88 or 89 days?
Totally. It was during the North Precinct protest that resulted in some fires, where that moment really radicalized me around needing to provide mutual aid and how we needed to do it, or I needed to do it, because I was actually at the North Precinct dropping off supplies like snacks and water and stuff for folks when the fire happened. And I saw then and then later the combination of protesters moving things away from the fire and the combination of protesters trying to put out the fire on the building and the police shooting like quote unquote less lethal munitions at the protester trying to put out the fire so that they could have a picture of part of the building on fire. And when I saw that happening and I put two and two together about what they were actually doing there and how it got crafted into this narrative for the media, I realized that as the child and grandchild of firefighters, that I needed to step up with that role. And so it was at that point then that I started distributing fire extinguishers to folks. I'm carrying fire extinguisher all the time with me, and really kind of leaning heavily into, in addition to like the other kinds of mutual aid that I was providing, like snacks and water and, you know, sort of basic first aid and some field medic stuff, to also providing and focusing on fire extinguishing. Yeah, I see the importance of mutual aid. Like we are protecting each other. Everybody who is, you know, who's part of this movement, whether they're on the front lines or off the front lines, is contributing in support of a greater cause than themselves. And that is really important. And it manifests in a lot of different ways. It manifests in, you know, washing people's eyes out. Like the first time I was downtown during a Marshall's attack, I had to wash eyes out of like random civilians who were driving through downtown that just happened to get tear gas in their car and had no idea what was going on. Right. And it's just like our mutual aid isn't limited to the people who are on the front lines protesting. We're supporting neighbors that are getting attacked as well. And those neighbors are supporting us. Like I got tear gassed a couple of days ago and shot with impact munitions while just doing data collection. And, you know, this is up near the Penumbra building where Multnomah County has their offices. And the sheriff has their offices. And like some neighbors there took amazing care of me. And like, This mutual aid stuff, it's really important, but it's broader than just the folks that you see on the ground. There's a very large network supporting the folks that you see on the ground every night.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I think a lot of people don't realize the absolute sense of community that has grown from this movement. Thank you for sharing that. Before we wrap up, Juniper, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, so I definitely want always to call back to and center the reason why we're out on the streets right now, and that's because we're fighting for Black lives, and we're fighting against, in particular, police brutality and mistreatment of Black lives, and it's, you know, specifically George Floyd that really instigated this. But the reason why we're out there every night doing all these things and being tear gassed is because we are standing up to say that Black lives matter. And we're standing up with our Black neighbors and our community members to show support. And I want to make sure that that gets centered in every single conversation I have, because yes, tear gas is important, but the really important thing here is that Ted Wheeler and Chad Wolf think Black lives are so unimportant that they're willing to use hazardous chemicals indiscriminately to show how unimportant they believe Black lives are. And every day in response, people show up to say that Black lives matter and that they're willing to put their lives and their bodies on the line in the face of chemical weapons to show that Black lives matter.
Juniper, thank you so much for speaking with us today. We really appreciate the work you're doing and look forward to following it closely in the months to come.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really great talking with you.